Okay, we are recording tonight. Yep, how you doing, Seth?
I'm doing groovy, super groovy.
Super groovy.
You know, Zax?
Gonna play some StarCraft.
What? What's going on?
We're podcasting.
We're doing the cold open for the podcast.
Check out Ian's sweater.
What? Don't judge me.
Yeah, like how instead of actually putting heat inside the house, you just put on more clothes.
That's what... Dude, in this economy...
So this movie didn't matter.
Wait, first
it didn't matter actually.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast, and tonight we got Zach and Seth. We finally got around to watching the impetus for the Movies That Matter series.
Yeah, which was No Escape, and I totally thought it would matter.
No
I haven't
escape.
Seen it in like 10 years.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean? There was still good stuff in it.
Matter.
It wasn't. I thought there were things in it that I had forgotten that were better than I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, No Escape. Real quick plot. It's a sci-fi. In the future, 10 years from now.
Are we doing a Movies That Matter podcast about a movie that doesn't matter? Or are we just going to do it?
No, let's get into it. We saw the movie. And Zach got co-producer credit on this one.
Can I
for
leave now?
Going and getting this movie.
I'm only in the Movies That Matter ones.
No,
this is still part of the Movies That Matter series. We have to judge at the end of it if it matters or not.
That's...
So at the very end, we're done recording, you can leave.
Though we don't necessarily need to go that long either.
We're going
to
judge whether or not this movie matters. At the very end,
after all the
evidence has been laid out, he lays out all the evidence. He tries to sway you in one way,
mm-hmm.
then you decide.
So
No Escape, 94.
Wow, that's a little older than
it's
I thought.
Contemporary
it was, or newer than I thought it was. So Ray Liotta gets sentenced to this mega crazy prison. He's a tough guy. He knows how to fight. We see that he was a soldier. He shoots his commanding officer in the head during a ceremony, like in a big thing. And we don't know why, and we don't know what kind of person he is, but he seems like a real tough, kind of ornery guy.
Nice cookie.
And then
how about this?
Sent to the prison.
You think it might matter. You think it doesn't. So
I know.
So I'll be the judge, and you guys lay out the evidence and sway me.
Okay.
After he gives a long...
I don't really want to cover the it's a straightforward, you know, guys in a prison island.
It's called No Escape.
I thought it was more sci-fi.
Where you can't escape.
Because I thought that it was like a whole
you
different...
You can't escape something else, too. What was it, like this pain?
His past.
Yeah, you can't, which is thematically relevant here. He's got the post-traumatic stress thing going on. He kind of sort of defeats it at the end through sort of confessing it, and his drive to escape is to actually escape.
Let me ask you, if there were women in this movie and there was a lot more banging, do you think it would have been better or worse?
Even more people would have seen it? Or the movie itself would be better? Like,
why do I care how many people saw it?
I mean, I don't...
It's done. It's in the books. It's 19 years old.
It wasn't that big a movie, right? It didn't do well at the box office.
You like that?
And you think, but I'm just wondering if you think that part of the reason it didn't do well is because it didn't appeal to women.
No, I was for my own personal pleasure. I would have liked to see naked women in it. Is what I'm saying.
Like if they had just sort of made it like a co-ed prison.
You remember Death Race?
Yeah.
Not Death Race 2000, the original. Death Race,
where they had the female companions.
Female companions, just because.
Right. Okay.
And there wasn't even nudity. It was just hot chicks. So.
Right.
Couldn't they have done that?
I don't think there's a single woman in this movie at all.
There's all the women who died in the fire.
Yeah, there's like screaming silhouettes of the women and children
that
Ray Liotta burned to death or whatever. Under orders, right.
The whole time I thought he was just like mad that he had to go to Burning Man.
And I remember thinking that there was more justification for him actually shooting the CO in the head. Like that the CO had done something beyond just like wanting to cover up like a mistake of like a military strategic
mistake
or something. I don't know. They just didn't convey that part well enough.
He said it was on purpose.
He didn't say it was on purpose. Because he knew.
So why does it matter? Let's get into the meat and potatoes here.
I think Ray Liotta gives a good performance. There are things that are memorable.
That
there are two things about this movie that I saw this movie once 20 years ago and I always remember
Even
those parts.
19 years ago.
Fine. And that's, I remember him shoot the opening where he shoots his commanding officer in the head. That's very memorable. That's strong. That really grabs you. It's a good hook. And I remember him confronting Kevin Dillon about killing people and being like, once you've killed someone, you're not the same person anymore. And I think Ray Liotta's performance in this is really good as like a, basically like a soldier who's on the other end of having done evil things.
Let me explain this series
all
to you.
That.
Movies That Matter part the criteria for a movie mattering can't be performances, direction. It can't be anything.
Well, Martin Campbell directs this. You bring up a good point, and he's trying some kind of cool things here. But it's pretty unremarkable visually, I would say. I mean, it's not. But this was before everyone was going Tony Scott with filters and high end stylistic stuff. It's kind of straightforward in that respect. But what is it that you can talk about that makes the movie matter?
What it's about,
right? And that's it's about this one character in a lot of respects because it really
that doesn't matter.
Why does that not matter?
Because that's, there could be stories like about characters. That's what real movies are about,
right?
Okay, so the I thought of this movie. I was like, you know, No Escape kind of sucked, but I kind of enjoyed it. So that's probably a movie that matters. That's what I thought.
Right.
And then we ended up not watching that. We watched Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
And so far, that's been the ultimate
the benchmark.
That's
yeah.
that's the benchmark, and everyone that's come after it. The only one that came close was probably
Highlander 3, the Final Dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far. No,
maybe I should pick him from now on.
I don't know if you're qualified.
Qualified?
Yeah. There's qualifications.
I'd be fine with you picking something, Seth.
Make a suggestion right now. Right now. On the spot. Right now. This is what someone in my position has to do. You have to make decisions like this right now.
Alien vs. Predator.
The first one? Neither of those matter.
Aliens versus Predator.
That's what I meant.
Aliens versus Predator would be better than
that. Is that the PG-13 one with Lance Hendrickson?
No. Aliens versus Predator was the rated R one that followed it. Set in a small town. And a kid and his jailbird brother.
That was such a bad movie.
That has some good stuff in it, though.
Lance Hendrickson's in this movie. You got a charismatic villain. You've got fairly straightforward sort of thematic
stuff.
He's
a cartoony villain.
Yeah, he's a bit cartoony.
He's super cartoony.
And I'm all kind of okay with that. It's only at certain points where he just became so a little too cartoony, and you're just like, you know what? He doesn't need to be like whistling Christmas carols half the movie, you know? Like once or twice was okay.
And he did a lot of like jokingly gay mannerisms,
right?
But then he also seemed like he might actually be gay when in the scenes
like prison gay,
yeah,
like domineering. Like,
so which is it?
I think it's probably like a really complicated, nuanced, like both. Where like,
see, that's what I would have liked to seen explored in No Escape.
Is more the homoerotic quality of all these guys stuck in a sweet at a lush paradise.
What do they do to get their release? That's what I'm asking you.
we think that might be what the food source is, right? But that wouldn't make any sense because then you know, like, where are you getting new energy from, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the fact that
they all had nice looking skin, so maybe yeah.
Who knows? The fact that Kevin Dillon's character actually gets killed, I remember when I first saw that. I mean, I didn't remember it this time, but I remember being like, "That's actually kind of ballsy that they do that, rather than the plucky young kid, like learning to fight or you know whatever. Like he just is an idiot and then just gets killed."
I saw it as soon as it came out on.
VHS,
I believe. Probably still at the time at my friend's house. And the one thing I've always remembered from the movie, more than anything, was the guy getting impaled on the spike at the end.
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
That was awesome. That was really
good. This is still back.
There's some good use practical effects. I always remember the guy getting... It has like
the flaming arrow.
It has like a few violent scenes in it. And I remember when I was a kid being like, man, that movie was so violent. And like,
it's not
as violent.
A guy
gets impaled on a swinging log, but it doesn't, you know, it looks
kind of
fake.
It's kind
of...
Low
in the mouth
violence.
With a flaming arrow. But like if you look at any violent movie today, they're like so much more, like ridiculously so.
Yeah. This one is pretty tame with the visceral violence, except for that one
90s violence, yeah.
That one impaling. The bad guy would always still get it in a good gruesome way. Like even the PG-13 adventure movies back then.
I remember that movie getting lumped in, No Escape being that movie. Getting lumped in discussions about action films. I remember because I read stuff about movies voraciously,
mm-hmm.
I would say, at the age of 13, 14.
Right, yeah.
And Speed and No Escape were like talked about together. It was really strange. It was
that
like, this is the new action films, you know?
What were they saying was new about both of them?
Probably just explosions. But, I mean, those have been around for a long time. It was like, but they talked about, and I remember the playbill for the arcade and the minor theaters had big long descriptions of the movies, and they talked about it like, you know, in the vein of Speed and stuff like that. Though it's not; it's people sitting in a place and waiting for things to happen.
It's definitely it's a weird because it's a prison movie. So you've got you're basically a prison movie. So and so arrives and then interacts with all the different characters. And there's got to be like the bad prisoners and the good prisoners, right, and the colorful prisoners that are charismatic, you know, like Kevin J. O'Neill or what, Kevin J. O'Connor. He's like sort of the get anything. He just finds stuff that
washes
up. But
he can't get anything.
But he finds stuff that washes up, which is always strange. Like, where he finds bubble gum, right, and underwear and shoes and stuff. But not boots. He needs Ray Liotta's boots.
Right. And he's got a midget working for him.
Yeah. For a while, Redmond.
Was it Redmond?
Redman.
I thought he was calling him Redman.
Redman, yeah.
Redman. Redman.
But he perishes during one of the attacks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's sort of the one of those sort of proto big attempts. It's a little goofy. It's a little off the wall, but the characters are done right. And I mean, it's played fairly straight. It's not like a lot of winking to the camera stuff. It's not even really. I mean, other than some of the sort of more fanciful production design elements, which I say, you know, which kind of leave you like scratching your head, like how did they build armor? How did they do this? Where did they get that? I mean, they imply that the bad guys are being given supplies, right, I guess, sort of to keep the good prisoners from becoming too
powerful.
Powerful or whatever, having too good a time.
So that's my biggest problem with the movie, actually. There's a major logic problem with the movie.
There's a few...
And here's what has me on the fence, as it being movie that matters, because this major problem is so huge in terms of screenwriting that if it was not played as straight, if it was goofier, if it was inept in any way,
mm-hmm,
if there was stuff you could make fun of more of it in, then it would be a movie that matters immediately in my mind. But the people in the camp have built this society for themselves.
Right.
And they actually have a decent little life. Every once in a while they have to repel some attacks, but otherwise they've got a society, they've got respect, they have their quote-unquote freedom.
Right.
And they want to... One of the major goals for like the Henriksen character and stuff is we gotta let the people know that they're keeping us here on this island.
Right, yeah.
But they were already imprisoned for life. So would you rather choose having a chance on this island or being kept in the terrible conditions of the prison? So they're complaining about the better situation they have. You see what I'm saying?
I kind of get it, but I feel like the action is being ratcheted up enough with the way the outsiders are attacking them that there is kind of, I mean, especially when really...
They're being tortured and kept alive in pain and misery and fear in prison. Right? Which is better?
You've got a point there with the way they show or depict that initial first sequence.
It's a logic and motivation problem for wanting them to blow it out.
Incorrect, yeah. It's like, wait, so these big...
We got to blow the cover off this cover-up.
So the mega prison has you in a cell with, like, other people, and they didn't really do any... They didn't have
any. And Lerner says he only gives you enough food to survive, and nothing less, nothing more, and they're tortured. And
then if you're a real bad guy, then they put you on an island, and you kind of roam around.
And you can either be with the guys who eat and kill people, or you can go to the village
And they do bring that up, to their credit, they do bring that up in the story about how they feel like, you know, at least we've got kind of our own sort of freedom here.
Exactly.
I think it had a lot
had their own little utopia, kind of.
I think it had a lot to do with just being
it's a major flaw.
It was, well, I get their motivation to want to expose it, just so there's some oversight. Because really, they are still, they all, as much as they like the idea, like, hey, we have some of our own freedom here, they know that, like, with the satellites.
Okay,
but
what's going to happen to them? They've all been convicted and sentenced.
Right.
So, just because they were put on a different place than where they were supposed to be imprisoned, what's going to happen? They're like, oh, thanks for blowing the lid off your prison island. Now you go back to prison for the rest of your life, right?
Potentially, but I mean, there are all kinds of appeals cases and things that happen, too.
Don't defend the movie.
Don't get into my rampant, like social justice liberalism here or anything, but I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes on, and who's to really say which way it's going to go, because... There was some movie I saw, some old movie I saw, where some guy got put like on a chain gang,
right?
And then
Cool Hand Luke?
No, it wasn't Cool Hand Luke. It was actually called like the Chain Gang or something. Okay. And it was written to be like this story about like how awful the chain gangs were in the 30s and stuff. And it came out like in the 40s or something. And then this guy ends up finally escaping and that goes and becomes a successful businessman and everything else. And his like ex-wife tells on him and it's all this whole thing where it's like, well, you know, we don't want to extradite you or whatever. He's like, I'll go back and finish my sentence and be good about that. But then we're done. And then they just like the Southern guys pulled their little Southern tricks on him and keep him there. I forget. I think it was just called like, My Life on the Chain Gang or something like that. It was an old movie. But anyway, yeah, that whole concept of oppression and everything. That one thing alone doesn't kill me on the logic. I mean,
what are you talking about? It's completely illogical.
Well,
we got to escape this better situation that we are in now. We've got to make sure that the public knows about the better situation they gave us. That's what it boils down to.
I think the idea is that they not only do they discredit that guy who had that mega prison, so they're not going to go back to that guy's mega prison. That guy's going to get discredited.
Oh, so they're going to go to a nicer prison.
No, I'm not even saying that necessarily, but I'm saying that it's going to call into question the whole idea of these prisons and the whole way that people are being done.
It's going to get investigated. Werner's left on the ground at the end of the movie. Yeah. He's going to be killed and eaten right there. So he's not there to even be tried for anything. So someone else just steps up and takes his place. They can't shut it down. They're going to investigate. But they're not going to find anything.
There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. But you're right.
No Escape 2 would be interesting because it would be all about the legal system afterwards. And
them being on the run while they're free kind of or something in mega Neo New York or something like that. Yeah. No, I'd be game for a No Escape 2. I heard the script's been battered around for a while. I heard that Ernie and Ray are both keen to be in it.
Don't lie on the podcast.
People like get their hopes up. They're like, No Escape 2?
If nothing else, your truthfulness.
It's called No Return. That was what it was going to be called. Because you can't go back.
Be called No Return.
I think there's like Point of No Return, right?
We got to get back on the island.
Yeah. We'll just call it Lost Season 5 or whatever. Jeez.
So anyway, my point was that kind of major flaw in it with a lesser movie that isn't made as well. Or I mean, because it's really a decent movie. It's a decent sci-fi.
Yeah, they spent some money. And
I'm
everything.
Not talking about just the thing. Like as a movie, it's pretty decent. As an actual movie,
yeah,
it's probably 3 stars.
Out of 5, out of 4?
Yeah, 5.
Or out of 5? Out of 5? Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine for an action film.
I think. Yeah. I mean, I'd give it a hard 3 out of 5 because, like I said, the character stuff is good. Some of the villain is a bit too cartoony. The production design seems a bit the production design seems a little too much like it's like, oh, hey, we all love, you know, Kurosawa and like Seven Samurai. So let's make all these guys look like they're wearing like, you know, like soldier, like, you know, helmets. It seemed a little too organized around like some kind of weird tribalism that didn't necessarily gel with like what they could have built on the island and stuff. It just seemed a little weird and out of place. And then, like you said, the sort of whitewashed lack of ethnicity in the prison population on both sides was kind of...
Well, the issue with that is they should have just made it, you know, equal amounts of whatever. Blacks, Latinos, etc. And then whites. The issue is, so they kind of had to make it so that the good prison was almost all white people, because otherwise a white guy comes and saves them, right?
I don't know if they were thinking that progressively
they
at
weren't,
this point.
But it would have been an issue now. It would have been an issue now. It's the Dances of Wolves thing. It's the Avatar thing. It's the backlash against, come save these poor worthless natives, awesome white man,
okay,
right?
Right, okay.
So that would have been the situation there. However, if they had done that, but like the outsiders were mostly multicultural,
yeah,
then you'd be like, oh, so the white the white guys have their own camp.
It'd be like your Lord of the Rings thing or something, you know?
So they kind of had to make it. So
or
it
they could have cast someone other. Could have cast someone other than Ray Liotta. Or they could have gotten over that one weird little stigma thing and crafted a more complex society. I mean, as it is, Ernie Hudson is like the number two guy at the good society, and he's left in charge at the end.
He is.
And he's sort of like the most stable.
You can
one
tell
there.
They did that because they had to.
Like
they
the
didn't
writers
just, they
or
didn't,
something.
No, the movie, the producers, the director, they didn't have to. you know, they probably didn't, they didn't cast Ernie Hudson. They're like, you know, let's see who's great for this role. And they get a whole bunch of different people of different races in there. And then Ernie Hudson wins out. Ernie Hudson's never won anything in his life.
I don't know. Ernie, you see, I think Ernie Hudson has been right. A solid staple right. In a lot of good,
he's what I would Dennis call Haysbert.
Solid good movies. I like both of those guys.
We'll both agree. Keith David is top echelon of that type of guy. Keith David is up.
They've all done good roles. I mean, Dennis Haysbert was awesome in The Unit. He was in Heat. He was the wheel man in Heat. His story was really probably the most like kind of heartfelt.
He tries to kill Eastwood in the movie about the guy who steals some knickknacks from the White House.
Maybe I don't remember that movie.
With Gene Hackman,
right? I mean, are we gonna? Ernie Hudson. I mean, this is you could say, I would jokingly in jest say that this is like the sequel to Oz, and that Ernie Hudson was a prison warden in his own in regular time, and so you have to watch all of Oz to really appreciate the nuances of Ernie Hudson's
character. Does he live in Oz?
He's the warden.
Yeah, but I mean, everything's all fine at the end of the series. And
I don't remember how it ends. I never saw. I saw like 10 of them or something. Oz is a prequel to No Escape and a sequel to a Law and Order SVU.
Well, they kill all of sexuality in it then, because Oz is all about gay sex, right?
I think that's a big HBO's thing. They think they're hitting it. Yeah.
Well, this is HBO also.
I know, it's interesting.
HBO Films distributed it or produced it or something.
Maybe Ernie Hudson as the cop from The Crow, like finally got like was fed up with all the people in the city, right. The evil people in the city, and like. Took some of them out himself. And
anyway,
that's what got
the point I've been trying to say for a long time now is I think that massive logic problem there about them wanting to get off and blow the cover off the thing, the logic gap there is big enough that if it was a lesser film, if it wasn't as good a film as it actually is, then it would be a movie that matters, because then it would have been laughable.
Okay, right? Right, no, I understand, yeah.
Because it's not laughable. It's pretty decent, but it's got a major thing in it that kind of ruins
it. It's like a third draft problem. It's very ambitious in places. Like there, I feel like there's a lot with like the politics of the outsiders and the different tribes, and how Merrick, you know, meets with the other heads or whatever, and then kills them all. We don't see him do that. We don't get a real sense of. We get him being cartoony, but we never get a sense of him actually having like commanding authority over these people. I mean, there's a vague sense with the way that he kind of jokingly talks about, like, certain things that you get a sense that maybe he's a little more intelligent than most of them, but... And we never get his, like, personal attack towards Lance Hendrickson's character. And he's the one that calls him dad, everyone else calls him father. Right. Almost like there was some kind of betrayal there. I get a sense that this was probably either a much bigger script or a much more... Or maybe even a different kind of story going on in certain places. But when I see this movie, because like I could see the Merrick Hendrickson storyline having more to it, more backstory, more direct conflict between those characters that just doesn't get a chance to get played out, because it's really more about Ray Liotta kind of navigating these two places.
From the makers of Aliens and the Terminator.
Oh, Gail Ann Hurd, I guess. She's sort of the only real maker of that stuff, right? Because she was the big producer on that stuff.
I don't know. You tell me.
Right. Well, that's the only name I can think of that I can associate. Maybe there's a production designer associated with it. I don't think that...
You don't think maybe that Carolco had anything to do with it?
I don't know. I think, for me, it does fit perfectly into that sort of, like, forgotten gem quality of a movie that matters, because it's better than you... It's better, better than it deserves... It deserves to be something that most people should have seen.
Once again, you don't seem to understand what movies that matter means.
I mean, if it just means that it's like laughable, jokey.
No, not laughable, jokey. They're movies that suck.
Right, but that you have fun with.
No.
So they're not fun. They're just bad movies.
Movies that suck that matter. Okay, so.
Does it matter?
He's laid out his case. Your turn.
My case. Yeah. Now it's your turn.
Tell me what sucks about this movie to the point that it wouldn't matter, because we've watched the movies that sucked and they matter.
The whole idea in the beginning was it said that it turned into a big business, like a profitable enterprise.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They never really convey what's profitable.
So I was thinking the whole time that they were going to be like creating value, like working.
Right.
Like they were using up a perfectly good island for no value.
Right.
and hiding it from everybody. Instead, like, I thought they'd be in, like, mines, mm-hmm. like in Riddick. Weren't mm-hmm. they, like, mining stuff? Yeah.
Dust and dicks.
Yeah. That stuff that...
The only thing I could... I was thinking about that, too. The only thing I could think of was that somebody's paying him for each one.
It's
and
a
then he's putting the problem people somewhere so nobody can see them.
Yeah,
it's just like normal jail.
It's just like normal jail. Exactly. Like exactly. Yeah.
So it's just a government... It's a government...
So
you know,
big business hasn't taken over anything. They just said that because they could, because that sounds
well,
more evil
the
than
outsourcing,
the government like, has decided to pay more per prisoner to owners of jail
why,
prisons.
I mean, also, why not just
more
kill
stuff
him?
That could have been explored in the sequel?
Like it's like, why not... He's playing a game with them mm-hmm. for his own... I mean,
who the warden?
The idea is, oh, nobody's ever going to know these people exist. Well, then just kill them and throw them in a hole,
yeah, right.
And then nobody knows they exist, and you don't have to worry about flying helicopters and patrolling.
Logic problems.
I mean, seriously, how much money do they spend flying helicopters to make sure they don't escape, so they don't tell anybody? It's like, well, shoot them.
Well, here's
in
the thing:
head.
In 2022, helicopter fuel is extremely cheap, easy to come by. Mm-hmm. So they don't care about that.
It's only a few years away.
Well, 9 years. We'll see.
Give
what
me
happens.
A helicopter. Cheaper than driving to work.
The sky will be littered with helicopters. There'll be nobody
dangerous.
On the streets.
That would probably be faster to drive at that point.
Traffic jammed helicopters.
And it was just bad. Like the way like the action scenes where he would like sneak into their camp. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, 600 people missed him.
Right.
Like, well, but he's a trained like guy.
He's trained.
They do convey
not.
Some
yeah.
of that.
All 600 of them, they're sitting right there and he's creeping in between them. They're not trained, but he is. You see?
Yeah.
And it's also possible that a lot of them don't, because there's a mixing of the gangs at that point, so that a lot of them wouldn't necessarily know what the other gang's people look like. And so once he's in that other gang garb, it's like when he kills that guy that was throwing the knives, like that was completely unnecessary. That guy, he walked right by him and then came back.
Yeah, but you know what? When you have a chance to kill somebody, you take
it. The guy would have been suspicious when he saw him start climbing up that thing. He'd be like, oh, wait.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess. Right.
Yeah, you were wrong about that part.
Okay.
So there's some cool stuff in it.
Right?
Dead wrong. So I agree with what you're saying because I just laid something out while you were on the phone taking your important call. There's a major logic gap for me, which is, and then you can re-edit this because I'm going to say it twice, but the... these guys were in a terrible prison situation, right? All the good guys in the good village, the good bad guys who are all life convicts. Mm-hmm. So they had a situation in which they were tortured and given no food, but they were problems for whatever reason. So he's like, here, go have your own nice village. You can grow stuff and have kind of freedom on this island. Ha, how about that, right?
Like pigs and chickens.
And they're like, no. And then they're like, we got to escape and blow the cover off this cover-up. That of the better life we have now. That makes no sense, right?
Better life.
Then living in that village is not better than the terrible prison conditions.
The point is that they've already been convicted, so they're not going to get set free.
They're not going to get set free. They're going back to that terrible prison where they get tortured and given tiny.
Presumably,
they're being attacked like every couple months from the outsiders.
Yeah, but would you rather chance that or have the hell beaten out of you and tortured and eat one granola bar every 5 days or whatever they were getting? Which
is
better?
One of those crazy granola bars. It's like a brick, though, like a Duralog of like energy or whatever. No, but no, but you
Cliff Bar.
Yeah, exactly. This has definitely got that '90s like,
so what,
sci-fi
so I,
logic problem okay. thing going for.
So we're gonna vote. Ian, does it matter?
For me, it matters because it's like you said.
That's enough. Seth, does it matter?
No,
it doesn't matter to me either. This movie does not matter.
So Zach, say it.
It doesn't matter.
Say what movie it is. And
no
it
escape
matter.
Does not matter.
Okay.
But we need to go back. So this is going to be the new format. We've got to go back retroactively. And Tango and Cash matters?
Heck yeah, it matters.
Matters? Matters. Okay, so Tango and Cash matters.
Highlander
3.
The Final Dimension?
Yeah, that was
my
idea.
Yeah, it matters. All three. Unanimous.
I believe so.
Shut up.
so
Money Train. Money Train easily matters. Okay.
It's
two out of three. It doesn't matter.
It's the sequel. No, I've seen it more than you guys.
So anyway, this is what we're going to have to do from now on. We have to decide whether or not the movie matters. So this is now, No Escape is now stricken from the records.
Stricken.
No longer shall it be watched
This podcast, this podcast will be up for 1 week, and then I will remove it.
No, no, no. Keep the podcast up just to warn people. Just to warn people.
This is a warning. I should put a warning at the beginning.
It's decent for an actual movie. I know you didn't think that. But
do you think like people come home and they're like, I want to watch a movie that matters, so they like refer to the feudal podcast list of what matters? Like, I guess it's either Money Train or Highlander 3 tonight. And they have like their girlfriend come over.
And she's like, what the hell is this? He's like, Highlander 3.
He's like, watch what Lambert's doing.
He's like, yeah, but they said it mattered.
I really hope that no one is taking like their like dating movie advice from this podcast. They should know better that they listen.
Why are you going to downgrade your product?
I'm not downgrading
on the air.
I'm not down.
Live on the air. You're,
I'm being honest with the consumer about what the product
you're
is.
You're also playing with your woman's sweater buttons.
Yeah, that is a woman's sweater. What's going on?
It's warm. Okay, so that's the end of No Escape. We finally got to the end of that. So, are you saying we need to have consensus on matters before?
The game
has always been somebody picks it.
The game doesn't matter.
I think no. I like it's better when somebody picks it and says, "I think this does," and then we watch it and then we decide. It's more fun that way.
We'll haggle about what movie we want to watch for movies that matter, and then at the end we decide whether or not it matters
after we've watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's not like perpetual haggling and we never watch anything.
Oh, no, I'm still going to tell you whether or not a movie matters before we watch it.
Those are fun movies.
Pail Kids? Maybe that matters.
I feel like it might. I'd be interested to check it out.
Does Highlander the TV show matter?